many services today virtually in every area of human activity, because human activity is there in all these cases. So we have these as the good examples. Now, what are the VLSI applications? Let us look into some examples of VLSI applications. We have today two directions in which VLSI has been growing. At one time, VLSIs were used only for high-end applications, and those high-end applications means very costly type of application they were used. Today, those costly type of applications are getting converted into run-of-the-mill or common requirements for human beings. Let's take some examples. Charge-coupled device was invented sometime in the late 60s. CCD is a shift register, 128-bit shift register, or 256-bit shift register. Single array shift registers were invented at that time. And very soon it was found that they could be coupled with the optoelectronic device like silicon PN junction optical converters, PN junction photodiodes could be attached to these shift registers. And parallelly, these optical signals could be picked up by these devices and put into the shift register, and then used in order to take pictures. And first CCD cameras were built somewhere in the 70s. Even our early Earth satellites from Indian soil, namely the Bhaskara series, or not the Bhaskara, but the later one, Earth Observation Satellite, ISRO's Earth Observation Satellite, used a CCD camera in the 1970s. It is a very high-end application, and only few companies were making, so they got some camera from abroad. And they were all single array cameras, linear cameras, and which were put on board these satellite. This satellite, when it in a low Earth orbit, when it moved, it was able to take picture of the ground. And the picture of the ground was pushed from one point to another point like a broom. So this was called as the push broom technique at that time. And cameras were evolved like this. But very soon it was found that this camera technique can be made into an area array. Why confine ourselves into a linear array? You can make it in the form of an area. Area means many such shift registers to be joined together, and the output can come out in one direction. And today, that has become the cornerstone of modern digital camera. And you are seeing today digital cameras being extensively used all over the world, including in your own mobile phones. Today, when you buy a mobile phone, you get that with a camera as an auxiliary thing attached. And if you want a camera without a mobile phone, you don't get it. So it automatically comes to you. So this is a low-end application it has come to. And almost everyone can make use of the camera. In some years back, it was only for a high-end application. Then let's take another example. Mainframe computers like the IBM 360 and the like, huge computers were built in the 60s. But those computers had to be interconnected for sharing of data, sharing of information, transferring something from one place to another. And that's how the ARPANET came in. ARPANET is Advanced Research Project Agency Network in America. And this was transferring data from one computer to another computer. That was the basis of today's internet. Today's internet. Many years later, you have seen home PCs come in. And once home PCs come in, same problems as with large computers of the past, they need to be interconnected. We have to share data, we have to share information. Laptops have come in, various types of facilities, new facilities are coming, leading to the internet. And internet, and now it is IoT, Internet of Things. You are going to interconnect the internet to machines to, you know, to be controlled. Your washing machine, your microwave oven, or your refrigerator to be controlled by internet from anywhere and everywhere. So such possibilities are coming for low-end application. They have become. So the microelectronics is playing a very, very crucial role. Then on the other side, you begin with low-end products, but eventually you go to high-end products. You know, this also another direction in which microelectronics is coming up. One of the low-end products of common use which has been with us is the wristwatch. Every civilized human being requires a wristwatch, as we all know, because time is very important in today's world. We have been having for a very long time mechanical wristwatches. Mechanical wristwatches have been with us from almost the beginning of the 19th century. So almost 100 odd years, 150 years or 170 years, such watches have remained. But the moment integration came in and you know, miniature circuits came in, and simultaneously development of piezoelectric crystals of small size became a reality, we could be integrated, and wristwatches became available in by about the 60s, 1960s. And as you all know, the Swiss watch industry got completely rehauled because of this revolution. Swiss were always experts in making wristwatches of a mechanical type, and they found their whole industry was shaken by electronics getting into watches through miniaturization. But now it has not stopped at that. This has given rise to time and frequency standards of a very high order today. New developments in you know, low temperature coefficient crystals and high accuracy counting devices. So all this has happened and giving rise to time and frequency standards even for space use today. So it has gone into the high end, from low to the high end. Another example is the TV picture tube. You all know we used to have that cathode ray tube, time honored picture tube, at the output of any television set, bulky, heavy, and difficult to carry it from place to place. That is now replaced by LCD or LED flat panel displays. Again, another high order of development with, you know, to replace the older version. So these two directions of applications have come in, and these are attracting wide attention. Now let us look at communications in everyday life. Now let's look at examples of communication in everyday life, where you will find microelectronics keeping a new direction for supporting us. Communication takes place in different modes. There is person-to-person communication, person-to-machine communication, machine-to-person communication, machine-to-machine communication. These are the four types, four modes of communication. Person-to-person communication by voice was the only means of communication, if you look at until about 50s or 60s. But with the microelectronics revolution having come in, you are getting now more varieties of modes. Different services have come, voice and non-voice type. Voice communication has not remained the only communication. Non-voice communication has come in the form of data, or even voice converted into data and then taken to any distances, and at the other end you convert it back or you store it and take it out. So there are various types of possibilities. The voice, non-voice types. then fixed at home and at work. For a long time, fixed communication was the order of the day. Your landline, which is a fixed line at your home or at your workplace. But today you have the mobile facilities, so this also has brought in change. Then different types of communication, audio, video, radio, TV, then internet, intranet, and IoT, all these are different types of communication. Then different methods of communication have come in. Wireline. Earliest method was using a pair of wires to connect from one place to another. Then a coaxial cable, a waveguide. Then wireless system, both terrestrial as well as space-based. Then optical and photonic, using fiber optic, that is no electrical energy to be transmitted over the thing for communication. But it is a fiber optic, an optical wave to be transmitted. Or it could be a free space between one location and another location. You send an optical wave and it will be received at the other end. These are the uses in business, industry, education, variety of things. And with products and services which have been impacted by the microchips. So this is the direction. Then communication, what have been our major gains? As you see, why we require communication? Because it brings reduced distance between the people. If you communicate, if you speak, and if you converse, there is a great deal of harmony coming in, and it helps to reduce the distance between people and better understanding among societies. And this has resulted in the world becoming a global village. We are all together in this world, so communication is a very helpful thing. This is based on today microelectronics as the key driving force, and digital, wireless, and computers and communications as the main approaches. What is a CNC? As you will notice that in today's world, computing and communication have joined together. They have converged. Gone are the days when the field of computers were looked at as an independent thing and communications were looked at another independent thing. Today we are required to put them together because microelectronics has influenced both these, and there is a convergence in this. We will see it very soon. And then photonics to supplement electronics. Photonics as a supplement to electronics. Photonics does certain things which are helpful in the field of communication, and it is also greatly aided by microelectronics. What are the implications of this? Today, microchips are used everywhere in the 21st century. It will not be an exaggeration if I state that human beings are using microchips and interacting with microchips much more on a daily basis than with other human beings. As you can see with your mobile phone or with your PC or with your computer, you are always doing something. Your social networking has greatly improved and you spend more and more time with the microchip devices, knowingly or unknowingly. You see, it does not require a specialist to deal with this requirement. Anyone, even a common man, can make use of microchips, knowingly or unknowingly, much more for interaction than with other human beings. So humans interacting with microchips more than with other humans every day, that is the tremendous impact and tremendous change that has been coming in. Now let us look at the progress in communications. As all of us know, communications in the modern sense using electrical signals came into being in the year 1835. With the invention of the telegraph by Samuel Morse. It was telegraph communication. That was the first electrical communication system to be developed. Even India started using telegraphy way back in about 1850s, 1852 or 53, when the Indian Post and Telegraph Department was set up. That was the first thing, link you had between Bombay and Thane. That was the first telegraph link set up to support the movement of trains. And then it was extended. So that was the first thing. 1875, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, so it added more methods to the telecommunication link, because voice could be transmitted over a distance, over the electrical pair of wires. Then came Marconi's discovery in 1895 of radio. So radio got added to this for communication. And like this, development took place. But for a long time, the system was analog. You are only transmitting the signal as it was generated across to the other end, because there was no electronics to process this signal and to convert it into some other form. That happened only with once integrated circuits started coming in the 60s, and then 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you will see. So many new methods of communication have come in, and which have added a lot of luster to the whole field of communication, and communication has become a commonplace in today's world. And today, modern communication, which is based on CNC, is the order of the day. In communication, one of the most important requirements is the bandwidth. We have to conserve the bandwidth so that we are able to communicate more. We are able to send more number of signals in the same frequency spectrum that is available to us. And how is this done? This can be only done by compressing the signal. You have the speech signal, or video signal, or whatever it is, that signal needs to be compressed so that it occupies less space. First idea of compression of signals came up way back in 1923, when Nyquist postulated the sampling theorem. He said, no need to send the signal as a whole, but we can sample and send only the samples from one place to another. And those samples can be retrieved and recreated at the other end. So that is how the sampling theorem came. But very soon, by 1937-38, Alec Reeves, another scientist from ITT in Paris, he demonstrated that samples need not be sent as a whole sample, but it can be coded, it can be quantized and coded. He said, you can cut that sample into so many parts and code it and send the code to the other end. But there was no technology available to send those codes. Although he had filed a patent, the patent remained as an unused patent for a very long time until the ICs came in. And for the first time in 1962, after the transistor circuits came in, and initial integrated circuits came in, it was possible to demonstrate the first digital telecom system based on Alec Reeves' ideas, making use of the earlier sampling theorem. So 1923, 1937, they had to wait until 1962 when these devices became available. And after that, there has been no going back. And you find every time the signal, compressed signal, is able to be transmitted. So you will see here the kilobits per second, the rate at which you are sending. You can even send high definition television signals using this. Now, modern communication which we have today of the 21st century is based on Earlier conventional communication, our scope of conventional communication, the lowest block, it includes broadcasting, transmission, switching and networking. These are the only thing. You insert the signal at one point, it will come out at the other end in whatever manner you require. But to that, we are adding information generation function and information storage function. These two are the new blocks which get added as a result of microelectronics and computing becoming a part of the whole thing. You see, human intellectual activities enable us to create information, and then that information is processed and converted in whatever form that we require. It is digitized, and then that one goes to the broadcasting or for transmission or anywhere. And similarly, it comes out, and then the opposite processes are done. All this today is done at the chip level. And this is enabling us to perform such functions at a very, very low cost. And that's the reason why everyone goes for the digital type of information generation and using. Now, electronics has one more support channel. That support channel has come in because of photonics. Lasers were invented in the 70s, and that invention has been supplementary to the microelectronics revolution. And it has been found that while the electrons are the carriers in electronic system, photons are the carriers in photonic system. But what is done by electronics in a better way cannot be done by photonics in the same way. What photonics can do in a better way, electronics cannot do in the same way. There are limitations because of the particular characteristics of electrons and photons. You have a very strong Coulomb interaction in the case of electrons, but in photons, no such interaction is possible, and that makes the difference, leading to photonic communication to be more useful in transmission networks. That means you provide a signal and it just transmits. You can't switch with the photon. Photons are not good in switching. Electrons are good in switching. So you can take advantage of photons where they are required, take advantage of electrons where they are required, and they can coexist and provide us the better communication system. So electronics is better for switching in communication. You require to switch because you cannot connect each subscriber to another subscriber directly. You require a switch in between all subscribers to go to the switch, and the switch connects to one or the other based on your dialing. And photonics is better for transmission in communication. So, as a result of these advances, you find today in the 21st century, we are moving ahead at a very fast pace in the development of telecommunications everywhere, including in our own country. So many old systems have already become obsolete. You see, today you will see the earlier post and telegraph department is the telegraph section is no longer existing because a few years back it was obsoleted, and they even closed the telegraph offices. It's no longer required because everything can be done by the computer, internet and the like. So such things are going to happen. And at the same time, miniaturization, what is further going to happen? What could be the smallest device size in a silicon microchip? These are questions yet to be answered. We have no answers for this. While we know that it is happening, but we don't know what is the minimum dimension to which we can reach. What could be the minimum feature size beyond which X-ray and E-beam lithography can be attractive? When can we make use of them? Then what is the highest power density that can be sustained on a silicon chip? Analysis studies are required. and what is the minimum energy required for a logic operation in a microchip. If this is found, then we can perform our function at the lowest level and then get to the highest packing density. So answers to these would help understand many major issues on the future of micro nano electronics. So in this short presentation under ASET colloquium series, today I have tried to present to you some important aspects of the field of micro nano electronics and the advances which we have witnessed, where it is likely to go in. And as an example, its impact on the field of communication, which is so much essential for all of us, I have tried to bring to your attention. And I would like to thank all of you for your patience. And particularly, I thank TIFR and Dr. Satyanarayana for giving me a very unique opportunity to be before you today and share some of my thoughts with you, which I've enjoyed immensely. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much for giving a complete, decades, not centuries, in electronics and communication, and the interplay also bringing in all the issues that are going to kind of govern the computers as well as the communication in the coming decades. So I mean, I'm sure only a person like you can have such a broad kind of outlook about all these aspects, and I think what are guiding forces for future VLSI and where the even the career opportunities for some of the younger people coming in, what are the main areas which are actually constricting the further package densities, as you mentioned, are also on the speeds and so on. So it's very challenging. You talk about VLSI, you want very faster, you want with low power, you want with very, very high speeds and occupying very little space. So these have been always the constricting factors for people to work on, and there, these are challenges as well as opportunities. So, maybe there's some questions.
Yeah, please. Yeah, it is worrying. It is worrying because the type of the level of expending time by our present day society is indeed a worrying thing. I don't know. We can't do anything in this respect because the social networks are playing a very, very big role in this. Your Facebook and various other similar networks are playing a very big role. And how much time an average person spends on these every day. Some good things are there, some limitations are also there. But we have to look at the brighter side of the whole thing. Any time a new technology or a new development takes place, some no doubt a lot of new things happen, but also some bad things also come up as a result. But so long as the bad is much smaller than the new ones, the good ones, I think we can accept that. We can accept that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I put some questions, the last slide has the questions. We require answers to these questions. we require answers to these questions. These have been engaging the attention today, and I think they will continue to engage the attention for some more time. No doubt going to 3-5 semiconductor material will prove to be very useful, but they cannot replace silicon. They have to coexist with silicon. Silicon will bring up to a certain level. You continue to use silicon up to that level. Beyond that, you can use the 3-5 semiconductor material, because quantity wise, getting 3-5 semiconductor material in the world is going to be a difficult thing. And as you can see, already there is shortages are being found, they are being observed all over the world because of the LED being used in a display, you know, your illumination. LEDs today are being used in illumination. Whether available resources, available material on this planet can support all the LEDs of the future, we are going to have that problem. It is like petroleum shortage, yeah, which is going to come, which is going to come.
So it has become another bargaining kind of
thing. Yes, yes.
I hold with me all this material and then start bargaining with the rest of the world. So this has become another commodity. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Inquiring about Prasandaji, about the paintings of TIFR and so we want to. We want to give thanks to our archives department. So this is something for you to.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you once again.
An excellent memento. I always enjoyed coming to TIFR, particularly to look at the very fine archival collections that you have, and it has been a very enjoyable experience. Thank you very much.